Hey, Scott.
What, I missed one note.
Don't.
Is there a dunce hat involved with this? No, don't. I have to sit here now and put a dunce hat on?
Well, here's the thing. We've been talking about rockets. Have you been paying attention? The last few weeks, we've been talking about rockets.
Maybe.
Well, last week I mentioned a few things and I put Tom on the spot and asked him to help me a little bit with the fire triangle thing. Yeah, sound familiar? Okay.
Yeah.
But the problem is
he's here.
Yeah, but he's gone.
Oh yeah.
Amber took him away. So, okay. So I lost Mr. Tom. So now I got you.
You're in trouble.
Okay, but I did mention last week that there were some things as we talk about rockets and launching that really basically any science teacher could help answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wondered if you wouldn't mind like doing me a solid and helping me out in the beginning of this one. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So help, like any good teacher, we should be recapping some of our previous lessons.
Okay, so you have been giving us homework, and now you're giving us a test. You didn't say this will be on the test. Remember this.
I didn't say I'd put them on a test. I'm just putting you on a test.
Oh, thanks.
Okay, so don't worry. I said this the first week. I even repeated it last week. So it's been said twice.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so I had mentioned that in the Easter season, Easter season is a season of resurrection, renewal. Jesus is getting us ready for ministry. And so we've been using this image of rocketry because it's like getting ready to be launched out into the work that's before us. You got it?
I remember the rocket.
Yeah, rocket. You're good. You're good. I'm trying to help warm up things for you.
It.
Okay.
I'm working on it.
I know. I can see the smoke. Yeah. Okay. I mentioned that very first week, I said that really for a rocket, the most basic thing, I had that balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, all you need is kind of the compressed air and then a place for it to get out and it'll go shooting around, mm-hmm. right? And I let that go around. But I said it wasn't a very good rocket because it didn't have all the systems that a rocket used, okay?
Yes.
And I mentioned four systems that first week, and I did it again last week, okay? So
okay.
Your pop quiz, and I'm giving you a long time to think about this, is what were the four systems needed for a good rocket?
Okay, well, you need a rocket, so structure.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, structure.
You need some
structure.
Kind of structure. You're okay. On the board. One. Yeah,
okay,
you got 25%. Good job.
And you need propulsion. That's what Tom helped us with.
Yes, fire triangle, the fuel. Yeah, yes. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, and a payload. You need a payload.
Yeah, you got to carry something. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're at a sea.
Oh, yeah. It's something you could use more of, guidance, because this is not good.
Yeah.
What's going here?
I know. We got to talk about guidance.
Yeah, we do.
So I brought another kind of rocket today, and I want to just show it to you, and maybe you could kind of talk through, like, if you could see how any of those four systems were part of the rocket and how this one might be better than a balloon, okay?
So I'm not done yet?
No, you're not done. We're only getting started. Put the microphone down, though. All right. So here is... This isn't actually the rocket.
Ooh, I remember these things.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, like last week.
Yeah. So here's your rocket. So talk me through. So talk me through a little bit, Scott. How does this help a rocket? Why is this better than a balloon? This system.
Well, it's better than a balloon because, you know, you get just so much air in a balloon, and I could push on that thing pretty hard.
So we've got the structure. He doesn't have the microphone anymore, so I'll just repeat what he's saying. Structure with this is the structure, right, with the rocket. Yep. And you mentioned better propulsion. Because this one's a foot stomper, so some air is going to come flying out. All right, so we've got some of that. This one, let's not think too hard about the payload. It's not very heavy. It's just foam. All right. And then where's the guidance in this?
Oh, well, you can aim it anywhere you want. This is a target-rich environment.
Why do I feel like we just stepped into a Gallagher episode? All right, so, and even in this, you, look, you can even aim it this way and that way, and as well as that way. Yep, so you do have a limited guidance system on this
once
one.
Once I had it just like this, and I really hit it hard, I
hit. Yeah.
Yeah, that was not good.
All right, so...
Can I give it a shot?
I am going to let you do this. Nervous laughter. So you're gonna show us the racket.
Yeah, I think that's got Paul all over it.
Oh, you did do pretty well. I do have three more. Needed a little more propulsion.
Little
I
more
see.
Propulsion.
You're not off the hook then. Sorry.
All right, Raj, here we go. This one's got you this time. Too much propulsion.
You almost took out a pastor. Your pastor Paul was right there. That's not acceptable.
Not acceptable. Another one. All right. Go on. Sideways, that's good.
Yeah!
All right. Say, did you have a point to all this? Do you think maybe I should sit down?
Yeah, maybe I'll get to the point now. Everyone give Scott a round of applause. Okay, well, where were we? I think Scott said I was supposed to talk about guidance. Yes, obviously. All right, so, you know, a little bit of fun, and of course, remembering that in our lives, guidance matters, right? And that we have some influence about where we're aiming and what's happening. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today, about in our life of faith, about how who we're listening to and what our guidance systems are, influence where we go in life. Now, today in particular is known in kind of the liturgical calendar as the Good Shepherd Sunday. And so many churches are reading portion of the Gospel of John, either the first or the second half of Jesus talking about being the Good Shepherd. And in many ways, this scripture is read in the Easter season to remind us of how much we can trust Jesus and look to him, of course, for our guidance and our voice and his voice. And one of the most beautiful parts about the Bible passage when it talks about guidance is that we are given this image of being able to look to a God who not only has the power to care for us, but who knows each and every one of us and is willing, as it mentions, to lay down his life for us, to totally be present in our lives in a way that both extends grace and mercy and protection and hope. And this is part of the Easter season because we know that Jesus is encouraging us to say, look, you can trust me, I've got your back, and I can give you good guidance in your life. And in the Good Shepherd passage, we are actually presented with three different characters that we're the sheep in the story here, but that is the traditional image here. But we are presented with three different characters that we could look to for guidance in our life. We obviously know the answer. Look to Jesus, right? Every Sunday school sermon ends with Jesus. But we are actually presented with two different characters in the series in John, if we were to read the first half as well as the part you heard today, which is that we could be listening to either the good shepherd, we could be listening to the thief, or we could be listening to the hired hand. And we are put forward by Jesus these images because Jesus knows and recognizes that in our daily life, it's easy for us to be exposed to other voices, to kind of get lost, to easily get distracted, or maybe be deceived, and to not realize who we're listening to and what is guiding us in our lives. So he uses these images of a thief or a hired hand and points out that, of course, at the end of the day, the answer is always listen to Jesus and listen to Jesus. Now, if we hadn't just packed like basically thousands and thousands and thousands of meals, I'd go in greater detail about all of that. And I do want to say, for any of you who genuinely in your life of faith want to learn more about what does it really mean to feel like I can know what it's like to identify Jesus' voice versus maybe other voices when I'm listening to all this stuff in my life, I really want to know if, like, that's something on your heart. I want to know what it's like to hear the voice of Jesus. I want to know what it's like to have more certainty in being able to recognize when God speaks in my life. Write on that connection card. Email me. Contact me. I would love to be able to gather in small groups with any or as many of you who really have that in your heart. Sometimes they call that spiritual direction. Sometimes they, any number of things. Like, that's actually what I'm most interested in spending my time in. So, like, if that's a thing that's in your heart, I would love to be able to talk with you more about how you get to sort your thoughts, how you get to feel more confident in knowing that when it's God's voice or something deceptive in your life, that's like a key passion of mine. But to really get into it, that's a big, long discussion. And so I'm just going to do a teaser to say, if that's something that you want to know, if you want to grow with your feeling of confidence in your own guidance system in God, please let me know. That's why I get into ministry. And also, though, for the real basics, for some of you who just need that reminder and encouragement about listening to the voice of God, of course, a lot of this is meant to be just fun today about remembering that we can trust in Jesus, listen to Jesus, and look to Jesus as our guidance system, is also a reminder in the Easter season that we not only listen to Jesus, but we are meant to help amplify that voice in the world so that God's voice can be heard through each and every one of us, that we can also be signs and hope and a place where people can encounter the joy that God's love has to bring. And so as we think about that and what does it mean to amplify the voice of God in the world and to be able to hear it more clearly and recognize how easily it is to be discouraged by other voices that try and bring us down, I've brought in a very short video clip from Feed My Starving Children. For some of you, you saw this clip when you came to the packing shift, depending on what packing shift you went to. This particular story we're going to hear from is from a staff member whose name is Junior, and he does work through the Feed My Starving Children organization. And I bring it up especially, and what I want you to pay attention to is as Junior shares his story, he talks about growing up in Haiti and being in a place where it was easy to get discouraged, easy to allow the voices that might whisper, like, no one cares or you don't matter, to take over his life because he is in such an experience of extreme hunger. Like, these are not academic exercises. You know, when there's real things that are struggles in his life. But he's going to share a story about the power of when there is that positive voice that can change and unleash everything, and how we too can be that positive voice in the world. So let's take a look at Junior's story and a reminder about who we're paying attention to.
Hello, my name is Junior, and I work for Feed My Starving Children. I would like to thank you for coming today and pack those meals. You know, what you just did was more than just packing meals. You just packed hope. And those meals you just packed will be distributed to children in need around the world. And I was one of those children. I was born and raised in Haiti. I know what hunger is personally. So I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming and pack those meals. I can tell you from growing up in Haiti, hunger is more than an empty stomach. Hunger is an absence of hope. Because not having a meal means more than just going to bed with an empty stomach. It means sometimes when you don't have food, you're thinking, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen the day after that and the day after that? Those thoughts consume you. And I can tell you, growing up in Haiti, so many nights, we would go to bed and my mom would be praying in the middle of the night. I could hear her praying about food and what's going to come the next day. When you're hungry, sometimes you start questioning whether somebody cares. You start wondering, where's my next meal will come from? And sometimes if you're just hungry for a day, that's different than when you're hungry for today, tomorrow, and the day after, and the day after. That's when you start questioning, does anyone care? So by you coming today and packing food, you're making it possible for a lot of parents to say, hey, dinner's ready or lunch is ready. By you coming and pack, you're just making it possible for teachers and uncles and dads and aunts and people who are taking care of so many children to say yes. So you coming out and packing food today means more than just packing food. You are sending hope and you are sending love. On behalf of all the children who will be receiving those meals, thank you so much.
So again, by sharing a simple act of sharing some food, changing those voices from despair and isolation into hope and belief and encouragement. And I think each and every one of us, in some degree in our life, struggles with what it feels like to feel alone or to despair, or maybe feels like the voices around us only breed negativity and cynicism or try and keep us down. But we remember that when we listen to God as our guidance system, Jesus, especially in the Gospel of John, said that I may come so that they may have life and have it abundantly. Right? Not just getting by, but abundantly. He says things like, I have come so that you may have my joy, and my joy may be complete. And that we're not just talking about life after in heaven, we're talking about here and now. And so today, as we close our time in thinking about God getting ready to launch us into whatever our own particular mission is, we give thanks and remember that we have a good shepherd who, when we rely on his guidance system, creates a sense of hope and encouragement, of joy and of perseverance. And that when we listen to his voice, we not only have that filling in our life, but we begin to radiate it all around us, so that others may begin to taste and see the joy of the Lord. As I think about the close of our mobile pack and how hard all of you worked, I am incredibly proud of you and the ways that you brought that voice of hope into the world. And I'd also like to say that we're not one and done, are we? No. It doesn't mean that we have to do a mobile pack itself every week. That might kill us. But we are not one and done with God working through us, with us, and for us. And my hope, especially as we think about what has happened this week with the mobile pack, is that we can realize that in many ways, this was God's way of reinitiating and restarting a launch sequence for us as a congregation. And I'll tell you very clearly, I don't always actually know where we're going because I rely heavily on that guidance system of Jesus to be able to speak up and through us. But I look forward to the ways that we will continue to partner in ministry. Because if anything, I learned that this congregation has some pretty powerful propulsion, right? Pretty powerful propulsion. I should have thought about that before, but now I can't say it anymore, right, Scott? One and done. Sorry. So I just want to say thank you. I want to keep encouraging you, and I really look forward to what God has in store for us next. Can I get an amen? Amen. Amen.